So what became of the great battle of Mosul in Iraq? What became of the great offensive to grab the prize controlled by ISIS?
I think what's important is that the campaign to retake Mosul succeed, and we're committed to that success and not to a particular timetable.
That's Secretary of Defense Ashton Carter speaking last year. That commitment seems to have petered out. The Director of National Intelligence, James Clapper, told the Washington Post this week that he does not foresee victory in Mosul being part of President Obama's legacy. The offensive to retake the Iraqi city of Mosul was announced last February. The Iraqi army, alongside Kurdish Peshmerga fighters and U.S. combat advisors and air support, were to retake the valuable oil fields and the water reservoir there. It didn't happen. Here's Frederick Kagan of the American Enterprise Institute testifying before the Senate Armed Services Committee last year.
The campaign that has been described by the administration and our general officers is completely derailed. I do not believe that there is any reasonable prospect that it will be possible to retake Mosul this year. The Iraqi security forces at current levels of U.S. support are not capable even of defending their territory against determined ISIS attack, let alone clearing a major ISIS safe haven.
Joining me now is Abdul Razak al-Sayidi, an Iraqi and former New York Times reporter in Iraq. He just left a post as UN Transitional Justice Officer in Libya. Abdul Razak, welcome to The Takeaway.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for having me.
You know, you can go online and see all kinds of pictures of dubious origin. It's hard to tell what you're seeing that show life in Mosul. It doesn't appear to be very pleasant, but life does appear to be going on. What is happening in that city? And do people in Mosul expect liberation ever?
Yes. People in Mosul expecting the liberation. They don't know when and they don't know how. In fact, when ISIS took Mosul in June 2014, many people in Mosul, they were happy to see the defeat of the Iraqi military forces who, you know, prominently Shia. But now they saw themselves in a worse situation with the ISIS. The situation is very dire. I've been talking to a friend of mine from Mosul yesterday, and he said how it's the financial, the economical situation, it's a very difficult. There's no jobs. People now, they're spending all their savings, selling all their belongings to get food.
The suspicion is the infrastructure has completely broken down, delivery of water, sewer services, electricity, that it's very difficult to live in Mosul. Is that your impression and the impression of your friends?
Yes. Even before the government was not really functioning very well to deliver the service, you know, to people, not just in Mosul. I mean, in many parts of Iraq. But now they have, you know, problem with all the infrastructure, the electricity. You know, I give you an example. There was no any functioning cell phone, you know, network, the coverage. So when the people in Mosul wanted to talk on phone, so they go closer to the area that controlled by Peshmerga, by the Kurdish forces, and then they get the coverage of the Kurdish network, which is called Korak. The internet also is a very slow, and there was a huge, you know, surveillance by the ISIS. So people in general, yes, are severing, and they are trying to, you know, to free Mosul, but, you know, that's not easy. So because ISIS, they don't let anyone leave Mosul unless there was an emergency. And the emergency, that means if you want to leave Mosul, you have to prove that you have a medical emergency. And there is a medical committee by ISIS. They check your record and they said, yes, you need in medical treatment and it's not available in Mosul, so you could go. But also you have to, and the price, if you don't come, they confiscated your property.
Abdul Razak al-Sayidi, thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Abdul Razak al-Sayidi is an Iraqi former New York Times reporter in Iraq who just left a post as the UN Transitional Justice Officer in Libya.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.